to the Lord, all the earth, let him sing. All of my days, I wanna praise. Everybody needs your love.
Well, good morning and welcome to Church Online. I don't know about you, but that countdown's awesome. I felt like I was going to start raving or something. It's just brilliant just to lead us into this service this morning. You know, this is a new normal for us. It's become normal. Actually, it's no longer new. This is what we have become accustomed to. And so we were reflecting just before the service as we were preparing for this morning, that we don't know what the future holds, but we do know the one who holds the future. We do know the one who's got us in all of this. And so, that, you know, there is nothing quite like being in the same room together, but we are really appreciative of technology that enables us to do this. And so we're gonna worship together. We're gonna sing. We're gonna dance. Alan's gonna be leading us in a song in a moment. But before we do that, I just want to encourage you to engage with us, interact with us. There's a chat feature. Please post your comments, your questions. Just some heads up for later on in the service, as John's going to be speaking to us. In that moment, just be reflecting what he's saying, post some comments or questions, because afterwards we'd love just to be able to pick up on some of those things and speak into that as a result of what John brings to us. And so I'm going to pray, going to hand over to Alan, and he's going to lead us in some worship this morning. So Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your mercy and your grace and your compassion. Lord, we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, and yet we know that you are the one who holds all things together. And so today, we bring all our uncertainties into this moment to worship and to glorify and to magnify the wonder of who you are and your ability to hold us and to keep us and to sustain us. And we thank you that you do indeed lead us all the way. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity today. So, Alan, it's over to you.
Good morning, everyone. How are you all doing? You okay? So we're going to start with a little bit of a bouncy around. Just anyone, now that there are some actions, I've forgotten what they are. I think I know what they are in the chorus. So I'm really hoping that you do a much better job than me with the actions, because I'm going to completely hash it. But let's go. In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore, sure. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. Woo! Right, well, I hope you did a much better job than me. Not really sure what carrying the baby safe to shore action is all about, but you never know, so... Oh, I'm all out of breath now, and I'm sat down as well. That's not a very good sign, so. So I hope you've all had a good week. God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of the breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. See your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation stings your praises, so will I. So will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, oh, nature and science follow the sound of your voice. As you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you've said. If it all reveals your nature, so alive. I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. So will I. You're amazing. Holy God, wonderful. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. The oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. The sum of all our praises still for shine. We'll sing again 100 billion of salvation, you chase down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. As you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. You lost your life so I could find it here. You left the grave behind you, so alive to see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love, then so will I. You would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? The one who never leaves the one behind. I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. You would again 100 billion times. What measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind. You never forsake us. You're always there with us. You reign in majesty. King of kings, majesty. God of heaven, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty I can but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Earth and heaven, earth and heaven worship you. Love eternal, faithful and true, who brought the nations, ransomed souls, brought this sinner near to your throne. And all within me cries out in praise, your majesty I can but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Your majesty, your majesty, I can but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty.
Just as Alan's been playing, my mind has been taken to the to a scripture that I read just this morning, and I want us to just be drawn to the majesty and the splendor of the one who reigns over all. You know, that earlier on we mentioned that the we don't know the future, we don't know who holds the future, but just listen to these words. And I'm going to read a few sections from Isaiah 46. Verse 5 says this: Who will you compare me or make me equal to? Who will you measure me with so that we should be like each other? Then down into verse 8 says this: Remember this and be brave. Take it to heart, you transgressors. Remember what happened long ago, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. I declare the end from the beginning and from long ago what is not yet done, saying, my plan will take place and I will do all my will. I can call a bird of prey from the east and a man for my purpose from a far country. Yes, I have spoken, so I will also bring it about. I have planned it and also do it. And I just want us to be drawn by this fact that this song, the King of Kings' Majesty, is that Jesus, the one who speaks of, the one who reigns over all, the one who holds all things together, is the King of Kings. And he reigns over all, and he invites us to participate in this life with him. And it says that you transgressors, remember, actually, all of us have been far from God. And for those of us this morning who are watching this, who've come into relationship with Jesus, we come to him as the King, and the one who's clothed us in righteousness, enabled us to come into relationship with him. And yet, maybe this morning you're watching and you don't know Jesus, you don't know a certainty of a future, you don't know the one who holds all things in his hands. And the invitation this morning is for you to explore Jesus and ask questions of who Jesus is. And we'd love to be able to invite you and introduce you to Jesus, because we don't know what's going to happen in the next hour, let alone in the next year. And yet we have this confidence today that this King Jesus has a plan and he will execute his plan, and he invites us to walk with him as we journey through this life. And so, Alan, I wonder whether we could just maybe just sing this just once more, just be reminded of this Jesus who reigns over all, this King of Kings, and it's in his life that we have hope.
Trust, you're the King of Kings, King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer. Within me falls at your throne, your majesty. I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes, I don't deserve. I live to serve your majesty, earth and heaven, worship you, love eternal, faithful and true, who brought the nations, ransomed souls, brought this sinner near to your throne. All within me cries out in praise, your majesty. I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. In royal robes, I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who reigns over all things, that Jesus, you, the one who gave your life so that we might have forgiveness of sin and a new life in you, eternal life in you. Jesus, we thank you that we, in many respects, don't need to worry about the future because you're the one who holds the future. May we concern ourselves with walking with you and knowing you and abiding in you so that we might have an increased confidence in your ability to accomplish what you have purposed to set out. And so, Lord, we thank you that as we just listen in a moment to what John is going to start to just unpack regarding what we're sensing and seeing you leading us into, Lord, would our hearts be open and our minds be stretched to dare to believe that you're still wanting to accomplish your purposes in and through us for the glory of your name. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Alan, for just leading us so well this morning. It's been great. Thank you. There's just one notice that I need to give you before I hand over to John, who's just going to lead us for the next few minutes or so, and it's just to say that if you missed last week's message, and you, it'd be great for you to be able to catch up on the service and the post-service catch up. There's some great stuff in there that John's just began to put out to us as a church about what the future might look like, as we've been praying as leaders, just exploring and trying to discern the Lord's leading as we move into this new season. And so I just really encourage you to catch up on that. And as I said earlier in the service, just throughout this next part, please do comment, just put some of your thoughts or questions, because we'd love to be able to just respond to some of those at the end of the, towards the end of the service. So that's enough from me, and it's over to you, John.
Thanks, Ian. Isn't it great? We can just gather together and just declare who God is through our worship. That's what worship's all about, is just declaring who God is. I'm really excited this morning, just as we're starting a new series that we're calling Bless. And we're going to unpack that word bless, and each letter is going to signify something. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we move through. But I wanted to call this morning's message, "A picture is worth a thousand words." I wonder if you've ever heard that phrase before, "A picture's worth a thousand words." Whether it is or it isn't, there's some dispute over that. But images evoke memories and feelings, don't they? You can see an image and you instantly are transported back to a time or to another place, or it gives you a sense of feeling or something. I just wonder, let me put some images up, and if you want to comment in the chat, you can. But I wonder what you feel when I show you this image. Oh, I wish. That's what I think. I wish. Sunbathing on a beach. Just the sea, the ocean, the sun, you know, the one thing we can't do, travel to that exotic island somewhere. But sunburn, as someone has put, that's the pasty amongst you fearing sunburn in those moments. I wonder this next shot, what you think of when you see this image. An image that a lot has been made of. You may know it, you may not. If you're super spiritual, I suppose you may not. But it's the album cover to the Beatles' Abbey Road album. A great album. And so much imagery has been made into this, of the number plate and the order they're walking and all that kind of stuff. I wonder, were you alive when this came out? What images does it evoke as you see, what thoughts does it evoke as you see that image? What about this one, this next image? The tanks of Tiananmen Square in June 1989. Whether you remember that moment, was that for you one of those moments of, I remember where I was when? That iconic image of that protester standing before those tanks. Maybe something a little less historic, but I think just as iconic. What about this image? What does this evoke in you? Ah, oh, isn't that sweet? I mean, even if you've not seen the film, everybody knows that moment of when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore, of Lady and the Tramp eating the spaghetti and falling in love over some meatballs. The only way to truly fall in love. But that amazing, iconic image. Picture is worth a thousand words. There are feelings, there are thoughts, even actions that are a response to what we see. And as a church leader, I've been asking myself some questions over this last season. Like, what are the thoughts and the actions and the feelings that people have? You, as you're watching this, maybe you're part of this church. What feelings and thoughts and actions do you have? But also those outside of the church, what are their thoughts, feelings and actions in response to the image of the church? What image comes to mind when I say the word church? Maybe it's a building. And that's legitimate. We have church buildings. I remember being on a walk with our daughter a number of years ago. She was much younger. And I remember walking through Stratford and she pointed at a building and said, "Daddy, why is that building wearing a hat?" And it was the steeple of a church. And I looked down and said, "It's a church, Bella. It's where people go and they worship." And that's so right. It's true. It is a church building. But if you spent any length of time with us as a community, you'll know that for us, church is not just about a building. It's so much more. Church is something that we do, not just something we go to. Our church online right now, we're gathering as the church online. There's no building involved. You're in your homes. And I'm excited by what God seems to be doing through this moment as we explore actually what does it mean to be the church. And I said, during this season, I've been asking myself three questions that I keep coming back to. Who are we? Why are we here? And what image are we presenting to those around us? Three actually really huge questions. Because who are we and why are we here? They are identity and calling questions, aren't they? Who am I? They're the questions that we ask. Who am I? Deep down. I mean, every ism on the planet tries to define who we are. But who actually are we? And then calling. Why am I here? What is it that, whether we believe in God or not, what is it that is at the core of who I am and what I'm meant to be doing on this planet? And I want to ask us, in not just individually, but also corporately. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, if you say that Oasis Community Church is your family, your church family, then what does it mean for us to be the church? What are we called to be? And what image are we presenting to the world around us? When they look at us, what do they think, feel, do in response? I keep coming back to Acts chapter 2, just a really significant portion of scripture for us as a church at the moment. But I've come back with it asking those questions. Who are we? Why are we here? And what image are we presenting to those around us? Let's just look at Acts 2 in response to those questions. Acts 2, starting in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. Seems that this early church, who were Jewish believers in Jesus, they believed that Jesus was the promised saviour of humanity, their Messiah that had come. They start to look a certain way. They're devoted to certain things, to the scriptures, to being together, to prayer. They start to act in certain ways, allowing God to work in and through them to perform miracles, generosity, needs that were known being met, doing life together, worshipping, being an influence. And people saw that and they wanted to be part of it. It appealed to the Jewish non-believers. We see in verse 47 that it says, and many were added, they got saved. And if you go on to read Acts, we start to see that it goes beyond just these Jews into the non-Jewish world. And they start getting saved too and start seeing Jesus for who he is. This is for everyone, through everyone, in everything. And the early church stands out amongst those that were like them. And it also stood out amongst those that were not like them. So my question is how, why? The question is, who are we? Why are we here? And what image are we presenting to those around us? So I just want to take that first question. Who are we? Who are we? And I want to go back to the start. Let's go right back to Genesis, the first book of the Bible. In fact, the first chapter of the first book, when the first verse says that God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, that just puts it there straight away. God is the one in control. And that created the heavens and the earth. It's a Hebrew idiom that means that God created everything from the top to the bottom. He created it all. And then when we get to verse 26, we start to see that God created humanity and human beings are right there on the first page. And I think it starts to speak into who we are and why we're here. We can look in so many different other avenues for those to answers to those questions, but the pages of scripture give it to us. And it says in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. You may have heard this before. You may have read these verses before, but have you ever actually asked, what does that actually mean? What does it mean to be made in the image of God? I've heard loads of different unpackings of this verse over the years, just like, well, God is Father, Son and Holy Spirit, so we are body, mind and spirit. And that three-part breakdown, I mean, it's probably more Greek in its thinking than Hebrew, but I mean, it's a legitimate possibility if that's what was being meant. But I think it misses something of the word image in the original readers of those that are reading this account of creation. And they're reading it with all of their world going on and all of their understanding. And actually, the word image in the Hebrew carries with it an idea of being an idol, actually being a statue. Now, an idol is something that we as Christians, we're like, get all of the idols out of our lives. We don't want idols in our lives. We need to throw them away. But Genesis here makes it really clear that God makes us to be an idol. Be the image of God. You see, an idol is a visible representation of an invisible being. In the ancient world, the statues of every god were constructed and placed in the temples so those devoted worshippers could come and see what that god looked like. So what's God doing when he makes humanity? When he knit you together in your mother's womb, what was he doing? He's creating visible representations of himself. He's making statues, not stone statues that are stuck in a temple, but crafted creatures intentionally put in God's temple, planet Earth, to represent an invisible God to the whole of creation, to show the whole world what God is like. See, we are the creator's representation to his creation. We're on display in the world to reveal just who God is. But that's just the beginning. The whole phrase, made in the image of God, carries with it such a deep meaning. And it was a popular phrase that was used around the ancient Near East. But it wasn't just for anybody. Not everybody was made in the image of God. You see, that phrase was reserved for kings. It was kings alone that were the image of God. You see, what Genesis is doing is it's using royal language. In royal robes, we've just sang, I can but bow. Genesis is using royal language, and it's using it about not just kings, but about all of humanity. See, a king was the image of God. The people would see the God, and they would say that God has been put there by has been put there by God. And as we worship the king, we inherently worship God. As the king rules, so God, the God they worshipped, ruled. Now, we look back and think that's a really good PR kind of spin on how to get everyone to obey what you're saying. But that was the very fabric of their thinking. It was woven into how they thought about their king. The king is the image of the God that we worship. He rules, God rules. And if the king is the image of God, that means that everybody else is not the image of God. Everybody else is just a subject to that king to do his bidding. But Genesis flies in the face of this. Genesis goes complete the opposite direction. Genesis claims that all human beings are made in the image of God. Therefore, they are all ruling on his behalf. That is who we are. Not just the wealthy, not just those with certain jobs, not those with certain skin colour. We have all been made in the image of God. That is who you are. Made in the image of the one true God. So why are we here? If we can determine who we are, then why are we here? See, Genesis is clearly using this royal language, that we're made in the image of God. It's saying that we're all kings and queens. Now, I find that a little bit uncomfortable. It's like, I'm not sure I want to claim that title, lowly me. And or maybe the opposite is I need a bit of a boosting up, you know, that pride of like, yeah, I'm a king, I'm a queen. But that's the language it's using. No matter how we take that, that is the language it's using. And look at the very next sentence. It says, made in the image of God, so that they may rule. There's more royal language there. That word rule is to have dominion or to dominate. See the connection between image and rule? You are made in the image of God, language that was reserved for a king, and now you are called to rule. I love how one Hebrew scholar says, unpacking the word rule. He says it's to actively partner with God in taking the world somewhere. See, in Genesis, we see a God who is going about the work of creating and leading creation to experience and enjoy his presence. And he makes us in his image to do the same, to partner with him, to be his representatives on earth, ruling and reigning, taking the responsibility in leading the world to his presence. It's not that we're puppets on a string and God is in heaven pulling all these strings. No, it's rather that we're partners. We are co-kings and co-queens ruling with the King of Kings to be his representatives on earth. Taking responsibility in leading the world into his presence. Now, when God creates Eden, he creates it, but it's incomplete. It's perfect, but it's incomplete. It's going somewhere. That's why God calls Adam and Eve and he says, now get creative, start to shape culture, make this a world. Start to put culture in there. His creation now start to shape culture. And humanity are partners with God. And they're who he's got in mind to work with to get there. If you don't believe me, let's flick to the last book of the Bible. Let's go from beginning to end and you look at Revelation. If Eden was the complete full picture, then surely at the end, that's what we will go back to. But it's not. Revelation 21 and 22 speaks of this garden, but it's like a city. And we see humanity being as they were originally created to be. Now, there's so much imagery in the book of Revelation, but let me just read to you Revelation 22, starting in verse 1. And you'll see things from Eden in there, but then just hold on to the end. It says, "But then he showed me the river of the water of life," imagery from Eden, "crystal clear, flowing with the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the city's main street, the tree of life on each side of the river, bearing 12, kind of another imagery from the Garden of Eden, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations, and there will be no longer any curse." What a promise that is. "The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night and day will be no more." So much we could unpack here, but we don't have time. "People will not need the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light." In other words, all of everything we need for life and sustainability will come from God, nothing else. And then what does it say? "And they will reign forever and ever." Do you see what it says of humanity? That we will reign forever and ever. Reign can also be translated rule. Do you see? That's why we're here. As it was in the start, partnering with God in taking creation somewhere, taking this world somewhere. And in the end, we see this perfect place where heaven and earth become one again. The dwelling place of God and dwelling place of man are completely together again. And humanity is being what it was created to be. It's a huge risk, isn't it? From what God has put into the hands of humanity, that why we are here is to rule. Because whether you choose to do that well or not, the fact still remains that we have been commissioned and called by God to rule. Now, some will choose to do that poorly. But we as followers of Jesus have the responsibility to do that wisely. God's risk in giving that to humanity. Because we see in the pages of scripture, there are good kings and there are bad kings. We see through the pages of history, there are good queens and there are bad queens. We get to choose. We see in the next paragraph in Genesis, if we go back to Genesis, it says, "Made in his image, ruling over creation, fill and subdue the earth." Fill the earth and subdue it. That word subdue is a really intriguing one because it carries with it two meanings. As I was studying this word, it can mean either to tame something that is wild, to bring order out of chaos, to bring harmony out of discord, but it can also mean to exploit, to enslave and abuse. See, just like Adam and Eve had a choice about how they steward that which God has given them, we also have a choice. And you can go on and read in chapter 3 of Genesis just what happened with the choice that they had. And beyond Genesis chapter 3, we've got to remember that beyond chapter 3, sin and error and human sin has entered the picture. And so everything that happens from then on in is not perfect. And we see some amazing things as humanity builds cities and creates music and lives and thrives off the land. But we also see murder and oppression, the abuse of women and the corruption of God's institution of marriage. And it all starts to fall apart and there's slavery. Throughout history, we see good monarchs, under whose rule a kingdom can thrive. Civilizations grow and expand, the earth flourishes. But we also see evil tyrants whose reigns are marked by oppression, by the weakest getting the least, injustice, dehumanizing people and stripping the land of its richness. You know, it's the same with our lives on a daily basis, how we choose to steward the calling to reign that God has put over all of humanity. So who are we? Why are we here? We have been made in the image of God. We've been commissioned and called by God to rule. So what image are we presenting to those around us? I'm going to land with this. Picture's worth 1,000 words. As a church, collectively as the people of God, who are we to the world? What are we doing with that which God has called us to steward? I think Acts 2 gives a picture of God's people understanding the responsibility. Luke, as he's writing this, he's displaying to those that are reading it, look, these are Jesus's people. These are the people that understand the call of God. They're stepping into the call of God. They're living as they were meant to, ruling and reigning. And it's not just about making sure they get through life unscathed and make it to heaven, you know? I'm a Christian, get me out of here. It's not that. It's about experiencing the glory and goodness of God in the person of Jesus, living by the power of the Holy Spirit in such a way that heaven and earth become one. That's the vision for our church, where heaven and earth become one in Stratford-on-Avon and beyond. How? By being a family on mission in the everyday stuff of life. Living every moment as the image of God, co-kings, co-queens, not lording it over people, but ruling as God's representatives. So where we go, his rule goes. Where heaven and earth become increasingly one. Church, this is who we're called to be. This is what it's about. We're not just the church on Sunday mornings, but every day. Our queen isn't just the queen when she is doing a royal engagement. When she wakes up, she is Her Majesty the Queen. When she attends a party, she is Her Majesty the Queen. When she's with her family, she is still Her Majesty the Queen. It's the same for us. Families, young, old, in schools, colleges, workplaces, with our grandkids, in retirement homes, in hospitals, food shopping, eating, praying, individually, corporately. We are the church bearing God's image to the world. So what does that mean if you're currently furloughed from work? What does that mean for you if you're a full-time mum? What does that mean for you if you're working in your home office, or you're working trying to juggle homeschooling with your work, or a nurse or a student? Can I tell you, it means a lot. For starters, it means that what you do really matters. Not just the church stuff, but the everyday stuff that you do. One writer says, in church, we often spend the majority of our time teaching people how to live the minority of their lives. We teach people how to pray better and read the Bible and serve in gatherings, all good stuff. I am not diminishing those things. They are important and helpful for us to grow, and they're vital for us. But compared to the hours we spend in work or the hours we spend outside of our gatherings, those things are the minority. Think of the amount of time that you probably spend reading scripture and praying as opposed to what you're doing, getting food ready for your family and spending time doing stuff that you've got to get done. This is why at the heart of our church is to be a family on mission in the everyday stuff of life. That reading scripture is vital. We see in Acts 2, they're devoted to the scriptures. But it's not just about that. It's about how we take this and allow it to feed into the way we live our life. So you're made in the image of God, so everything you do matters. God is king over the whole world. You're a co-king and a co-queen. You are royalty ruling on his behalf, gathering up all the praise of creation and directing it back to God himself. I could unpack that from Revelation, the unique role that humanity has in the sound of creation. Blessing God with how you choose to live, how you choose to parent or be a grandparent, or the relationships you have in your life, the attitude you take into your workplace, whether you love your job or not. When you get up tomorrow morning, whatever you do with your life, whether you earn money for that or not, you're being human, which means you've been called to rule. And you get the choice of whether you do that for good or for evil. And when we intentionally partner with God, we're being more fully human than you could possibly imagine. So I want to end with this question. What kind of ruler are you going to be? What 1,000 words will the life you live display to the world around you as a church? See, we're going to unpack this really practically through our Connect groups. Let me just explain to you very briefly how we're going to unpack this. We're going to unpack this through this series called Bless, where we're going to bring teaching on a Sunday, and then we're just going to get right down deep into it in the nitty gritty of our lives in our Connect groups and work that out through how we live. And we're going to unpack the word bless. Bless is made up of 5 letters. Each are going to signify something. And this week we're going to look at B, which actually means bless. And as we look at each letter, we're going to look at 3 directions, up, in, and out. So B for bless, up, in, and out. In other words, what does it look like for us to bless God up? What does it look like for us to bless in each other as the church? And what does it look like for us to bless out the world around us? And we'll do the same for each letter as we go through that bless acronym. Building up a rhythm about how we do life. Not a rhythm around our gatherings, not a rhythm around Connect Group and Sunday and just scraping it through just to make sure we make it on for another week. But actually how we get to live every moment of every day as the image of God into creation. So this week, blessing up. We're going to unpack it more this week for those in Connect groups. If you're not, I'd love to invite. There's a slide at the end where you can email to get in on that. But I want to ask you this week, how are you blessing God? See, we're familiar with the concept of God blessing us, but what does it mean for us to bless God? So often reading the Psalms, don't we? Bless the Lord, O my soul, Psalm 103, a famous one. But have you ever really thought about what that means? In light of everything we've just unpacked from being made in the image of God as being his representatives on earth, ruling and reigning as co-heirs and co-kings and co-queens, what does that mean for how you live this week? In light of who God is, how do we get to live? In light of who God has made us, how are you going to live this week? Will you mirror and mimic God into this world? Will you stand as like a visual interface, like you're looking at your computer screen now? It's not me, but it's an image of me. I'm here in my room, but you're seeing the image of me. What will that be like for us this week as we go into our world? Being that interface between creator and creation, implementing God's creative, generous blessing over all the earth. I love Romans 12, verse 1. I love how Eugene Peterson writes it. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. For those that like the more traditional translation, it's offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual, or other translations, this is your true act of worship. What's your life like of worship this week? Who are you? Why are you here? What image are you presenting to those around you? What about your whole family? Maybe this week it's about making a decision about how you treat his creation, where you buy your clothes, looking at how you do life. Instead of questioning God's will, it's saying, God, how can I bless you this week? So my question to you is, how are you ruling this week? How are you going to rule? And will it be in a way that brings blessing to God? Let me just pray for us as Alan leads us and we have any kind of discussion and questions around that. Spirit of God, we invite you right now. I just ask you to bring to mind as we pause right now, will you just bring to mind ways that we can bless you this week? That our life doesn't get so consumed with bless me, God, but we realize the calling of what it is to be your image to creation. And we say, God, help me bless you. And I pray that this week we may be a blessing to God in how we bear his image to the world around us, living and ruling and creating and displaying the goodness of God and the glory of God to all the earth in his name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. Deserve my every breath, for you've paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, that defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to soul? so loving a king, Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
Thanks so much, Alan, for just where you've led us this morning. And, you know, I think that's the heart response, isn't it, John, of thankfulness, that we use that word participate in your message. We get to participate with God in this. And it'd just be really good in the next couple of minutes, because we've only got a few minutes left, just to just explain really why we're so excited about this development, because it is a shift for us. As a church, I know from being part of the conversations, I'm really excited by the thought of this whole life approach, this sense of God in my everything. In fact, that's a really great book called God in My Everything, if you've not read it, that just brings this sense of the awareness of God's presence and our place in participating with him in mission. John, why is this such a big deal for you? What's the journey, really? Why is this so crucial for us?
It's crucial because I think we are really good at departmentalizing our life and saying this is the God sacred bit, and that's the secular bit, and this is my time, this is God's time. And I think the danger in that is that we then become Lord of our own life.
Yeah.
And I think that the exciting thing for me with this pathway is that as we seek to live our whole lives, is that all of that just gets bashed up together, and the good moments, the bad moments, because we can all make it look like life's great on a Sunday morning, can't we?
Yeah,
but actually, what is God doing in our lives when he's not removed that suffering? You know, God removes sin the minute we confess, but sometimes he doesn't remove suffering, because actually suffering leads us closer. Sin keeps us away, but suffering will lead us closer. Mm-hmm. So in that moment of your life, or your neighbor's moment that's going through that, how can you speak into that? And I think as the church, we can struggle with that. We struggle with knowing how to speak into circumstances and situations in the reality of everyday life, because our following God, of being like Jesus, has become a church activity rather than a whole way of life. And so for me, it's about saying, God, I think what you've done through this COVID-19, not that God it originated with God, but he's using this for good, to say, church, I'm calling you back to what it looks like to be a disciple of mine in the everyday stuff of life. When your neighbor is struggling, when you're feeling like God has abandoned you, what does that actually mean in your life there and then?
Yeah, so good. I think for me on the just in reframing thinking around that, because it's often a bit of a journey, isn't it? I mean, this is something that you and I, we've talked over many years on some of this, you know, over the course of life. But the thing that I think has really helped me was this understanding that first and foremost, if I'm walking with Jesus, I'm a disciple of Jesus, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm an apprentice of Jesus, I'm a child of God primarily, you know, John 1:12. And therefore, whatever I do as a child of God, when I was younger, I used to work for the co-op, I worked in the co-op and then I was a Christian. It was actually, I'm a follower of Jesus and I do those things. And maybe that's where some people could start this week, is reframing that simple reframing of our thought, is that whatever it is you're going to do tomorrow morning, in whether it's work or other things you're involved in, could you just frame it a little bit differently? I don't know if you've got any other, just we've got a couple of minutes left, John, whether you've got any other tips for people just this week as they begin to sort of take that challenge that you've laid out this morning.
Yeah, I think for me, it's about looking at what you do on a daily basis from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep, and not being overwhelmed by that, but just saying, God, help me to see. You know, there's some stuff we did in the Jesus Way practices that can help I've used an ancient one called an examine for years, you know, where you just sit and reflect at the end of your day, God, where were you most present to me? And where did I feel most distant from you? And the moments when I felt God most present are really surprising moments where you just feel his grace, feel his peace, his affirmation. And I think those moments are really helpful just to acknowledge those moments. You know, Psalm 103 talks about bless the Lord and forget not his benefits. One of the ways we bless God this week is by being remembering the grace over our lives that he pours in. So just taking moments just to stop. And I think it's reorientating. We're great, especially the Pentecostal church. We're great at like the bless me culture. God, you know, yeah, I'm going to bless you, God, but ultimately it's to bless me. But actually what happens if we just say, do you know what? Let's just forget my needs for a minute. I'm just going to live for the next. Let's just challenge ourselves. Gosh, let's just challenge ourselves. 10 minutes this week. Why don't we just say 10 minutes? No, maybe a little bit longer. Let's say 20 minutes. Let's make it a challenge. Half an hour. It's going up. But if you can manage 10 minutes, try it and just see what happens. Just say, I'm going to try not to think of myself for 10 minutes and I'm going to deliberately seek to bless God. I'm going to sit for a minute and say, God, just how about you stir something in me about how I can bless you? And then respond. Whatever that is. Might be giving somebody a call. It may be saying, do you know what? I'm not going to rush out and get that thing from the shop. I'm just going to sit and pause and be with God for whatever he says. How about we just see and trust the Spirit of God to speak into our lives about how we can bless him this week, not for our sake, not that it might spin around and benefit us, but actually just purely for the glory of God and for his sake.
Fantastic. That's awesome. Great. John, that's so good this morning. And I think for one, am really excited about the future.
Can I just jump in quickly? I'd say do that with kids as well. We're really exploring how this we are a family on mission in the everyday stuff of life. So we're looking at how we do this from the youngest to the oldest. If you're parents, we're getting some resources that we can, you can contact us, and we're going to try and get those sent out over the coming weeks, just so we can start to equip parents to disciple their kids. So every age, why don't you try doing that with your kids this week, and as a spouse or friends, just maybe try it this week and see what happens.
That's great. Brilliant. Awesome. John, thanks so much. Like I say, love the direction we're going. I think this is it's going to be good for the town and good for the district and good for many. So it's great stuff. Great stuff. I'm going to pray. I think we'll just come to a close this morning. Obviously the comments are still open, so please do feel free to do that. But if you've been watching this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, we've talked about Jesus an awful lot. We'd love to help you get to know him. And so please feel free to get in touch with us. We'd just love to introduce you to the one who's changing our lives and has given us hope and a purpose. So thanks, Phil and Alan, for just all you've been doing this morning to make this happen. So let me pray. So Lord, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace, grant you peace this week. May you be aware of his presence in the everyday, ordinary things of life. May you seek to live a life that brings glory and honor to him in every decision, in every way, in every moment. And when you fail and when you miss the mark, just like the rest of us, may you not just simply dust yourself down, but come to him, the one who's able to restore and redeem, the one who's able to empower you to live the kind of life that he's calling you to live. And so may you know the power of the Spirit resting on you and in you and working through you today and forever. God bless you. Amen. Thanks so much for being with us today.